Welcome to the Get Up Podcast. Bam! I'm your host, Mark Hayford, coming at you like milk on your cornflakes after you find out you're allergic to dairy. Woo! Greatest day of your life, baby. We are ripping into the middle of November. I am Mark Hayford. You are the Get Up Army, and this is the greatest podcast when you're talking mindset, attitude, self-help, personal growth, positivity, and possibilities, baby. We come ripping through, stomping like a boss every single week here on the Get Up Podcast. This is episode 46. So happy that we are here together. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now in 40, that's right, 40 plus countries and regions spanning everywhere around the globe, from Australia to Mexico to Vietnam to the USA to Canada. What's up, everybody in between? Hey, top of the morning to you. Fantastic, fantastic day, fantastic month, fantastic time to be alive. Yes, it is. And I'm happy that we're here together. Hey, if you're listening on any of those platforms, all 10 that we're on, Anchor, Breaker, Radio Public, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, whatevs, all of them, we welcome you. So thankful you're here. That's right. Yo, it's Mark, Mark Hayford with C. If you're out there on Facebook, Insta, Snap, YouTube, LinkedIn, TikTok, what? Can't stop Twitter or Clubhouse. Hit me up. Let's do the right thing. Let's connect. Let's make it happen. And let me know that you heard the Get Up Podcast, and that's why we're connecting. So I don't think you're some creepy Russian mail-in wife. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, how's everybody doing out there? I hope it's great. And if it's not, it's okay, because you're hearing my voice. So we're gonna be growing and going together, man. We're not here just to survive. We are here to thrive. And that's what we do on the Get Up Podcast, man. I love that we are almost a full year in on these podcasts, and this thing is blown up, and that's because of you. So I want to say thank you so much for supporting the podcast, for sharing the podcast, for tuning in all the time, whether you're binge listening or it's your first time, or you know, you are here from day one. Appreciate every single one of you, because we do this together. It's not the Get Up Army as a catchphrase. It's because we're doing a global takeover of mindset, attitude, and positivity. And those just aren't words. Those are core beliefs I got. Tell you what else I got. I got a website, markhayford.com. Go check that out. You got three number one books out there. Get Up, Encouraging You to Attack Life, 365, and Light Up the Darkness. All hit number one on Amazon. That's right. What's up? Hey, Get Up jumped over Gary V. What do you want? Let's go in 4 hours. And if you're more of a listener versus a reader, hey, Get Up and Light Up the Darkness are out there on Audible. Yeah, baby. So you can get your fill in on the commute while you're doing the dishes, whatever you're doing. It's all good. You could eat a taco and listen to Get Up. How dope is that? It's fantastic. All right. I want to get into this here. You know, I really do believe that success favors the bold. And I believe I'm not saying drive fast, take chances. That's not what I'm saying. But I do believe you need to step out from the norm. You know, when people talk about being quote unquote realistic, that word makes me want to vomit in my mouth. Realistic. Realistic is an excuse, meaning that if you try to go beyond the norm, and the norm sucks, by the way, if you try to go beyond the norm, boring, then you're crazy and you're probably going to fail. So just stay realistic. Bro, that's other people giving limitations. That's not what I'm capable of. That's not what you're capable of. As a matter of fact, for most of the things that anyone has ever celebrated for, or when I die and they have a eulogy and they talk about all the cool stuff Mark Hayford did, you know what that was? That was being unrealistic. That wasn't being normal. Normal's boring and boring sucks, and you don't suck. You're part of the Get Up Army. Do you see what I'm saying? You know I ain't playing. So today, I thought I'd share a story that maybe I mentioned before, but I don't think I've ever really told this story. And it's kind of crazy because, you know, years and years and years before there was a Get Up podcast, the Get Up Power Hour radio program, the book Get Up or any of these, you know, the whole concept of any of this. I think that the whole Get Up mindset started years and years and years ago. And one of the first examples of me having this paradigm as a young man is something that I've never told. And it's when I rub shoulders with the most famous entertainer on the planet. And I cannot wait to tell you this story. And if you've been following this podcast, and I put this out on a reel on IG, I dropped it on Snap, put it on my story on Facebook, Insta, the whole thing, right? I talked about this, and man, if you do follow all this, you know that I was in the WWE for a blink of an eye, right? I was a referee. I got the pictures, got the pay stub to prove it. So there was that. You do know that there, you know, the best-selling author thing, it happened literally overnight from the time the first book was dropped, and you guys did that, and it's unbelievable. You know, how I go on speaking tours and speak to businesses and, you know, keynote and all that, you know, sports teams, colleges. That wasn't really a thing before all these, you know, just taking the chances and stepping out. It was a dream come true. I always wanted to, since I was a little kid, to have a radio show and to make that happen. Oof, like all these things are so incredible. And that's the get up message, because you're not getting more time. Stop holding back. So I have a little story about when I unconsciously, you know, I wasn't 18 years old, you know, going, I'm going to attack life. I don't know if I truly had that mindset worn on my sleeve at that point in time. I was trying to work things out and learn who I was and all that. And that's okay. But the story is kind of nuts, and it takes place in the great state of New Jersey. Yeah! Jersey! That's right. The home of Bruce Springsteen, Eddie Murphy, and Bon Jovi. Frank Sinatra, the late Whitney Houston. Hey, how about this? How about this? I'm going to get into it, and I'm going to tell you, it started when I was working security at the Meadowlands, the swirling winds of the Meadowlands. Yeah, you're talking Giant Stadium. You're talking, at the time, the Brendan Byrne Arena. You're talking the racetrack that's right there. It's all right off, right going into New York City, right off Route 3, intersecting Route 120, right by Route 17, Patterson Plank Road. What's up? Bergen County, baby. Jimmy Hoffa might be buried there. Okay. Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what's up. So that time was an interesting time. It was an interesting time in my life, and it was an interesting time in time. You know, we were stepping out of the 1980s, going into the 1990s. Everything was taking a turn from music to film to just, you know, the way we were living, the things we were listening to, the type of movies that were being put out. Such an interesting time in pop culture and sports and life. America was stepping into what is known as the longest war in America. I'll never forget that night. I was actually working stadium security, well, security at the racetrack, and they closed and set everyone home because America just went to war in the Middle East. What? Blew my mind. Little did I know that 2 years later, I'd find myself in the Air Force. But that doesn't have anything to do with the time that I met the most famous person on the planet. And listen, I mean, I've met many a famous person, especially working there as a young person. I mean, I have a picture. I'm looking at it right now, and I should have been fired for this interaction when the greatest, if not the, arguably the greatest defensive football player of all time, in Lawrence Taylor. I'm not saying I'm fanboy. I'm just saying, when you have a guy that comes along that is so dominant in a position, changes the position, and changes the way offenses have to adjust to play that position. Lawrence Taylor, NFL Hall of Famer. Here I am sitting right next to him on the little stadium security golf cart illegally. That's a good story too, but we're not doing that one. And then there's a time where, you know, hey, we were called up. It was during a Giants game, actually, and they needed squads, legit squads of security to come up. We come running up, and Wellington Mara was the owner of the New York Giants at the time, and he had his own private suite in the mezzanine level. So you had the mezzanine, and, you know, across from the hallways, the private elevators, not like for, you know, the common people like you and I. No. This is for the owner of the New York Giants to get to and from safely with his family. And what we did was there were two human chains that were stopping all traffic, all people. No one's walking through. We're, you know, holding our bodies up. This way, when that door opens, the owner of the New York Giants and whoever he has with him walks out, gets that elevator safely, and then everybody can go about their merry way and get a cheesesteak, right? Or nachos. That's nachos, that's mine. Anyway, so I was second to the door. I'll never forget this. The door opened, and here comes Wellington Mara, owner of the Giants. And here comes this really tall blonde lady who I had no idea who she was because she was just going into her first major motion picture, Days of Thunder. Turns out that was Nicole Kidman. And then walking right behind her, it's Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise looks at me and says, "Hi." And I said, "Hi, Tom." And my supervisor looked at me and I'm like, "Bro, it's Tom Cruise." So me and Tom Cruise are friends. And that was it. That was the only interaction with him. But that's not the person. That's not the story. So that's just to kind of wet your whistle a little bit. Let you drink that in for a minute. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you what happened, how it happened, and who it is, and why, when I look back at this, the process of it is something that, like, even I look back and learn on, even though I lived it, and I think we can all get a lesson from this. But first, we're going to take 30 seconds to have the greatest sponsor on the planet, Anchor Podcast, talk about why you should start your podcast with Anchor. Get up, Army. Be back in 30 seconds. Boom! Like a bomb going off. Here we go. We're back. Get up, Army. Hey, tell you what. I love doing this podcast. I really do. I just love doing any podcast. And, you know, if you're still here, you must enjoy it too. And I appreciate that because I know, like, for my wife, she would pay me to stop talking, but hey, it's my gift. It's what I do. Okay. So let's go back, way back. I'm just getting out of high school. I got a full head of hair. I got a tape deck in my car. It's probably more expensive than my car, you know? Wow. Interesting time of life. And here I am working at the Meadowlands doing stadium security. And it was cool because I got to do all the different events. I did the sporting events. I did the racetrack. I got to work daytimes if I need some extra cash. And I definitely did concerts. Now, I'm a music, you know, I don't want to say aficionado because that's a little egotistical, but I'm a musical fan, okay? I own records from the 1950s, okay? And still have tapes from the 1980s. And you know, I'm looking at hundreds of CDs right now, and I've owned and operated my DJ company for 20 plus years. And let's just say you want me on Music Trivia Night to be on your team. Okay. That's who you're talking to. The musical Rain Man. Why? I don't know. It's just something, but we all got our thing. That's my thing. Now here's this thing. At the time, music was changing. Hip hop was really taking over. You know, the hair bands were going out. Grunge was about to come in. Nobody knew about it and knew it was going to be so impactful like that. But there was one star in 1990, the summer of 90, who literally overtook the globe. And this was the predecessor to Vanilla Ice, the Ice Ice Baby. Ding, 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 right? Now, I look back. You got Michael Jackson, you have Janet Jackson, and they were really the masters at putting together these shows where you could have tons and tons of background dancers and doing everything in synchronicity. Of course, Madonna did it. That was what was really going on at the time. However, the person that took it to the next level, the absolute next level, I'm talking where you had 50 to 75 different dancers in unison, dressed with, you know, these crazy outfits at the time, outrageous outfits, pyrotechnics going off left and right. One of the biggest shows you've ever seen. And I'm going to say this right now. I've been to two Woodstocks. I've been in front row for, I've been in front rows. I've been in the pits. I've been in symphonies. I've been body surfing. I've been to hundreds of concerts. And I will tell you what I'm about to say is this artist is one of the top five at all time, because in that space and time, what they put together and how they did it and the money they must have dumped into it was incredible, was unfounded for that time. And this artist was the hottest artist. Who's the biggest in the world today? What is it? Drake? Is it Ed Sheeran? Is it Justin Bieber? right? Who's, I mean, the biggest. I don't mean flash in the pan biggest. Like, you know, I'm not talking like a Doja Cat who maybe, who knows, you know, is she longstanding? Is she kind of here and now and gone? And, oh, geez. Change of weather, allergies. Here's the thing. The biggest star on the planet. Number one, everything. Couldn't get away from the video. Couldn't get away from the song. It changed fashion. MC Hammer. Now, some may need to Google MC Hammer, and some are going, oh, yeah, I remember. And some are going, come on. Bro, when he dropped You Can't Touch This, it was the song of the summer, 1990. It absolutely took over. Everybody started wearing the big baggy pants. Everybody does the hammer dance. To this day, if I play that, excuse me, you'll still have people doing it. It was colorful. It was fun. He was flossing. He was glossing. He was the biggest star on the planet. He blew up bigger than Madonna. At the time, he was bigger than Michael Jackson. Yes, that's true. He was bigger than Janet Jackson. He blew past Bon Jovi, who was super hot for a minute, and Prince already cooled off before he had his second run in the 90s. That space and time, MC Hammer was it. He was the guy. And later on, MC Hammer wound up becoming homeless. And, you know, the story is he went homeless because he had too many hanger honors. That's even a term or a word, hanger honors. And he did. I saw it. I saw so many people that were, you know, part of affiliated with what he was doing that were probably on the payroll that shouldn't be, like, you know, my uncle's cousin's neighbor's friend, Bobby, you know. But... and he rebounded, and he's still around today and known for different things. But at that time, you're looking at the hottest pop star on the planet. Now, I worked many concerts. Maybe I knocked someone else out in self-defense at an AC/DC concert, maybe. And then, you know, maybe I've been with the Grateful Dead people who sleep out for days and are the most docile, awesome crowd to work for. You know, everything in between. But for MC Hammer, I was told that I was going to be working the backstage crew. Whoa. Now, my friend Tony, whose dad was super high up, shout out to Tony Massara. His dad, Mr. Massara, loved that man. Didn't get me a job, but kind of put the word in it. Hey, my son's good friend is coming to get a job. So, you know, I don't think they busted my shoes as hard as some of the other people. I transitioned well, and I'm a hard worker and I'm a quick learner. So, it was nice. But he opened a door for me, and Tony told me, he's like, dude, he's like, yeah, I was spotting, what was it, Vince Neil on the bench press. And Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg was throwing a football in the parking lot before the game. Like, oh, you know, he times 10 stars at the time. But for me to be working backstage for MC Hammer is like, whoa. It's like, hey, you're going to be backstage with Drake. Okay. So here we go. What I didn't realize, and by the way, this was one of the hottest tours of that summer in 1990, and on that tour was En Vogue, who was the middle act, and that act, four-person vocalist band of females, R&B, unbelievable, super talent. One of them had a broken leg at the time, and she still performed seated while the other one stood, and it was just an incredible performance. And Vanilla Ice just dropped Ice Ice Baby. So for the 15 minutes of fame he had, then he came out, he opened up, did his thing, and Vogue came out, and then Hammer closed the show, and it was electrifying, okay? What I didn't know was, working the backstage with that at the time, it was crazy because the backstage, you ever go to a concert, and in the center, almost like in the back center, it's the big gigantic mixing boards and the sound boards and the lighting and all that. Yeah, okay. That's part of the backstage crew. I did not know that. Now, it doesn't matter. Who cares, right? You'll get over it, buddy. But here's the problem. I was dating a girl at the time, and her little sister was the biggest MC Hammer fan in the world. So the dumb, full head of hair, greenhorn, rookie, 18-year-old Mark Hayford tells this little teenage girl, hey, I'm working backstage for the concert. if I get a chance, I'll see if I can get you an autograph. No. Why would I say that? I don't know. Maybe I was trying to be cool. Maybe I was trying to flex. Maybe I was trying, you know, and yay. Okay. Awesome. Now I have to get it. Because if I don't get it, I'm the biggest heel on the planet. And, you know, I realize as I'm there for Vanilla Ice, it's not happening. Here comes En Vogue. I'm still out here. They told me they were going to rotate me in all freaking night. Rookie Hayford standing out. Mad. Angry, bro. A-N-G-R-Y. I ain't got no alibi. I'm angry. I'm angry. Your mama says I'm angry. Hey. And I'm standing out there. Got my arms crossed. Angry. The night ends. We go. We get paid out that night. And I'm walking out of the arena. Failure. But as I'm about to walk out, what happens is this. There's a curtain. There's a black curtain. And there's a door. That door is going to take me out to the parking lot where my 1979 Buick is. It's a boat, bro. Captain Hayford can sail away home to Wallington, New Jersey. Shout out to Wallington. Or I step through this curtain, which is ultimately going to leave me to parts unknown. Potentially the dressing rooms. This is a bad idea. I'm very low on the totem pole. And I thought about it for a second. And I thought, wow, I'm going to get fired, but this is going to be an awesome story to tell someday. And here we are in episode 46 of the Get Up Podcast. I proceed through the curtains cautiously and I walk and I just, it just happens. It's just a thing where I know that sometimes I just hear that voice and I got to go for it. And this was one of those times. And I stumble upon the biggest human being I've ever seen pre-WWE at that time, who is MC Hammer's bodyguard standing in front of MC Hammer's door. I'm standing outside of MC Hammer's dressing room freaking door looking at his bodyguard, the only thing standing in my way. And the reason I'm not dead is because, unbeknownst to me, I forgot I'm wearing my security. I got security rocking all over, bro. I got the security hat. I got the little yellow security shirt. And he looks at me, goes, oh, stadium security. And I said, yeah. He goes, oh, cool, man, cool. And we just start talking, right? We're chilling. We're hanging. I go, listen, man, how do I get Hammer's autograph? I got to get him to sign. He goes, I don't know, man. He goes, you know, he does what he wants to do. So why don't you just sit down, hang out, relax, see what happens. And he comes in. Whatever. I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting and I'm waiting. The show ended at 11. Right? It's 11:45. It's midnight. It's 12:30. It's going on 1 o'clock in the morning. I didn't move. I'm not moving. People keep coming in and out of this dressing room, right? His uncle, his cousin, backup dancer number 74. There's a party going on there. I'm just waiting. And every time that door opens, I'm like, jump up. And, you know, and there's a whole crowd of people, by the way, that are like behind barriers. They won some contest or something to meet him and they wouldn't let them through. But I'm sitting right here. No MC Hammer. And while this happens, oh, no, here it comes. Here comes Charlie Evans, former bodyguard of Van Halen, 6 foot something, really big. Oh, he used to arm wrestle me. Go, come on, Hayford. It was like arm wrestling a grizzly bear. he liked me, but not that much. And here he comes, the head of stadium security with the head of the arena security. Both guys in suits come down. They look at me. I'm busted. He goes, Hayford. I said, hey, Charlie. He was working overtime, huh? Great job. And just kept walking. And I said, nothing. I didn't lie. I just shut up. Okay. Long story short, door opens up. I'm finally desensitized to this about, I don't know, 1:30, maybe going close to 2 in the morning. I'm like, whatever. It's Hammer. Whoa. I jump up. I'm standing next to him. He's tall. I think he's like 6 foot at least or over 6 foot, which to me was taller than I thought he was because Prince was not tall. Hammer was tall. He's dripping in gold. He's everything from his glasses with the gold rims to his wingtip shoes to his giant belt buckle to everything that is the most flyest, dopest stuff you've ever seen. Wow. His watch was more than my car that was in the parking lot. Okay. Okay. And I'm walking with his three ginormous bodyguards, him, his publicist, and I guess there was a representative from Pepsi at the time that was running the show. And I said, hey, Hammer. And he goes, hey, what's up, baby? And he smacks my hand like, what's up? And I was stunned that the biggest star in the world, MC Hammer, just smacked my hand. And I'm looking at my hand like, MC Hammer's touched my hand. And then I woke out of it. Like, okay. I said, can I ask a favor, please? Because you got a favor. What's that? Kind of like, here it comes. Right. I said, hey, there's a little girl, burning bus shark attack, terminal illness. She autograph. He goes, yeah, man, let me sign it. I was like, oh, I produce a post-it or whatever I had and a Sharpie and I put it in his hands and he takes it. And then this guy from Pepsi gets in his ear and starts arguing with him about something. And the manager's in it and it's a whole thing. And we're walking and I see the limousine. We're underneath the arena, this secret compartment I've never been to before. We're all walking and these crowds of people are way back, pushed back from the other security behind us. And I know my window of opportunity is closing. And I said, hey, Hammer, about that favor. He goes, oh, yeah, about that favor. And I said, listen, her name is whatever. Her name is Ashley. And he goes, oh, I just signed MC Hammer. And the Pepsi guy goes, he just signs MC Hammer. I go, do you know why I know he just signs MC Hammer? Because he just told me he just signs MC Hammer. Shut up, Pepsi guy. And MC Hammer looks at me and goes, you said she was sick? I'm like, yeah. You know, and her burning school bus went off the side of a cliff and there was a shark attack with wolves and alien abduction. And he was, all right, man. He goes, here you go. As we're like, literally, I'm not exaggerating. We're like 25 feet from this limo. He hands it back to me and says, Ashley, peace, MC freaking Hammer. No freaking. And I said, thank you, man. You just made a little girl happy. He's like, all right. Like, just, it's tired. He just put on his whole show. He's walking. They all get in a couple of the limos, these big black trucks looking like, you know, FBI security, whatever. And I turn around and I don't know if the local radio station Z100 or WPLJ or whatever from back in the day was dropping out, like, you know, winning concert people. And there's all these angry moms and dads, all these 12, 13 year old teenage girls. And they're looking at me. They're like, well, when can we meet them? I'm like, hey, I've been off duty for three, I don't even say hours, and it's like, I get trampled. I'm talking a stampede of estrogen, of just little girls and women and a couple of the soccer bod dads running over me. I don't care. I'm salmon swimming upstream. I got what I got, and I peaced out. And that would have never, oh, and by the way, how that ended was this. Right up Route 3 out to 120, probably on the turnpike. See ya. Amazing concert. What would the energy level for an hour and a half? And I will say, and constant dancing. I don't know where the man got those moves or the energy. Go Google, go watch, go check out the You Can't Touch This video and understand that you were watching magic in a space and time that has not been replicated. Not like that. I'm not like the biggest MC Hammer fan or anything, but I just think to be able to create that opportunity and make that happen in the face of fear, in the face of adversity. I'm not like in the middle of a trench in Vietnam where I saved like 50 lives. I'm not saying I'm a hero, but I'm saying what I've learned from that, looking back at that, is you have to take chances. You have to get unrealistic. That whole thing was so ridiculously unrealistic that it should not have happened at all. And what should have happened was I should have been fired. But then again, when I look at that Lawrence Taylor picture over there that's framed, I should have been fired for that one too. That's a whole nother story. Guys, success favors the bold. You got to step out of the norm. You got to take a chance. You got to take a shot. You don't get more time. You don't get a round two. We are here till we're here and that's it. We need to go for it. We need to step out. We need to start living our lives. Pretty soon we are turning this calendar into 2022. What that could look like for you is whatever you want it to. Remember, Bruce Lee said, to hell with circumstances. I create my success. And now I create the end of this podcast because I've been yapping for a long time. But that was a fun one. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're still here, I love you, baby. Get up, Army. You are the greatest. We're coming hard next week, episode 47, rolling into the holidays. Hey, if I don't talk to you, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. I love you. I am always in your corner. This is Mark Hayford.